Perhaps one of the most popular sites on the internet is Wikipedia. People pronounce it differently. Some call it Wikipedia or something else, but it's W-A-K-I-P-E-D-I-A. This is, if you've never used the resource or never heard of it, it is a free multilingual encyclopedia that currently has more than 2 million entries. It's an interesting work because it has a wide variety of people contributing to it. In fact, just about anybody who's qualified to write on a specific subject is encouraged to contribute something. It was started in 2001 and it now involves hundreds, literally hundreds, of scientists and scholars. Wiki, W-I-K-I, is the Hawaiian word for fast, and they put that in front of the word encyclopedia to indicate that this is a resource where people, if they choose to use it, can find the information that they want and do that in a hurry. It is like a gigantic library that offers up instant information. I use it from time to time, and this past week I decided to see what this resource says on the subject of intimacy. Well, I'm not sure exactly who the author was, but he and his entry did have some interesting observations on this topic. He proposed, as I went through that material, that you can divide intimacy up into three categories, three or four. And the three that I picked out, he talked about emotional intimacy. There is physical intimacy, and there is intellectual intimacy. I want to, beginning today, to look at these three topics, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, and intellectual intimacy from the standpoint of Christianity, and then close out this particular study. If you think about emotional intimacy, and we have that as we deal with people, it is typically involved with two things, and those two things are trust and communication. If you trust someone, and if you really communicate with someone, communicate with them on an intimate level, you will have typically emotional intimacy. Now, we know that it is possible to trust someone but not communicate with them. It's also possible to communicate with someone but not trust him or her. But when we have a situation where there is trust plus communication, in both the physical realm and in the spiritual realm, we have a very unique bond between both parties. We find emotional intimacy. Someone has described emotional intimacy in this way, and it is a good definition. They have referred to it as unbridled self-disclosure. Well, if that's what it is, and that's a pretty good working definition, we might ask whether or not God, as well as Christianity, offers emotional intimacy. Is it possible to have emotional intimacy with God? Well, some, of course, would not hesitate to say yes. For many, their definition of emotional intimacy with God means jumping over the pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, that certainly is emotional, but it is not exactly emotional intimacy. For emotional intimacy to occur, both parties must be actively involved. Since Christianity involves God, our study of this subject best begins with Him. Is it the case that God has offered emotional intimacy to man? Has God revealed Himself to man? Has God come to man with both communication and trust? We ask that question looking at the past, and we also ask that question with respect to the present. When we think about emotional intimacy, several things are involved. A person is sharing his or her feelings, their hopes, their opinions, their fears, frustrations, all those things. Well, can we find those kinds of things coming from God? Well, let's see. We know from John 14, verse 9, that if we have seen the Father, if we've seen the Son, we've seen the Father. That's what Jesus told one of his disciples. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that tells us that if we have a good understanding of Christ, then we're going to have a good understanding of the Father. Well, if Jesus were emotionally intimate with men, then we can expect that such is also true of the Father. That's a necessary conclusion because of John 14, verse 9. Was Jesus therefore emotionally intimate with men? That's the question that we want to answer, and we can't answer. As we think about references in this regard, we could cite Matthew 26, verse 38. That's from the context that was read not too long ago. Jesus told some of his disciples that his soul was exceeding sorrowful. Jesus said to his disciples that he was in such a state of anguish, he could only describe it with the word death. Now that to me sounds like communication. It sounds to me like from Matthew 26, verse 38, that Jesus was trusting his disciples with some information that was very deep and it was very personal. Trust plus communication, emotional intimacy. At a little earlier time, and I'm going to read this passage, Luke 22, verse 15, we find Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. We have more than one account of this, but I'm going to take from Luke's account. On this occasion, Luke 22, we again find trust and communication coming from Christ. Here's what he said. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus said, here's what's in my heart. Here's what's in my mind. Here is this great desire that I have with you. He trusted them enough to share this. We also find, if we look to the next book in John chapter 15, a third example from the life of Jesus of emotional intimacy. Now, sometimes people come right out and they express their love and concern for someone. But there are also cases where that's not done. Or a person may do this at a time when it's almost too late to do it. Or a person may do this after an opportunity has been lost. But Jesus didn't do it too late. He did not fail to do it. He did it at the right time. And Jesus, in John 15, 12 to 14, specifically declares what was in his heart concerning his disciples. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do the things which I command you. At various times in the Lord's life, it was as if he bared his souls to the disciples. You see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, as we think about emotional intimacy with God, we find that God has put forth efforts on his side, on the side of heaven, to have emotional intimacy with man. Well, if God has extended emotional intimacy to us, is it possible for us to reciprocate? Is it possible from our end to have emotional intimacy with God? The answer to that question is yes. It was possible in the past, before Jesus came to the earth, and it's still possible now. If you have one of the sheets that's on the back table, I want to turn our attention to Psalm 34. We will use this for the balance of our lesson as far as passages that will be read. It's a passage that was written by David, and one of the verses that really stands out is the information in verse 8. David there said, O taste and see that Jehovah is good. It sounds like he had a pretty close connection to God, an emotional connection. There's also some background to this psalm which is relevant. There was a time in David's life, 1 Samuel 21, where he appeared before Ahimelech. He was fleeing from Saul. He needed some food. He came to Ahimelech for supplies. He received food. He also, on this occasion, requested a weapon, and he received the sword that was used, that had been used by Goliath. Well, as you continue to read down through 1 Samuel 21, you find that David finally went to the area of Gath, and he went to see that king. As David came to the area of Gath, the people there were not really enthused about seeing him, and David began to realize that he was not in the most friendly section of the area, and he became concerned, and to get away from those folks, he pretended to be insane. 1 Samuel 21, verse 13. And his insanity, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, involved scratching the doors and letting spit flow down his beard. He acted like he just didn't have any sense at all, and the people finally let him go. It is against this background that most believe Psalm 34 was written. We want to start with the first verse, Psalm 34, verse 1. David said, again, bearing in mind that great deliverance he had, I will bless Jehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David said, I'm going to bless. I'm going to praise God. Well, why? Because David was thinking back to that time when he had been delivered from some very difficult circumstances. An emotional bond had been created, very likely prior to that time, but certainly it was something that David was still in possession of. The passage affirms that the bond had existed at all times in David's life. When we think about an emotional bond with someone, it is something that may last for a short period of time. It may last for a series of months or a series of years, or sometimes that emotional bond lasts for a lifetime. When we think about an emotional bond with God, that's something that we want to create and we want to sustain for our entire lives. That's something that can be done, but once we form that mental bond with God, it's something that can be challenged. And that was true in David's case. Psalm 34, verse 4, David said, I sought Jehovah, and he answered me. And notice this, and delivered me from all my fears. Now that's an interesting background in view of the information that we have in 1 Samuel 21 and 22. If we just looked at this verse, it would sound like perhaps that David had this emotional bond and it was never shaken, it was never tried. But when we go back to 1 Samuel 21 and 1 Samuel 22, we have some additional information. David apparently believed that his circumstances were so dire he had to act like a crazy man. There was some reliance on self. So when we think about emotional bonds, whether it's with a person or especially when it comes to God, we are reminded that this kind of bond, this kind of relationship can have its high points and its low points. And that's true in the spiritual realm as well. We want to form the tightest bond we possibly can with God. But there may be some times in our lives, some occasions where that bond seems to be a little frayed. As we continue to read through the psalm, we find this in verse 6. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, who's the poor man? It's David. He was the fellow who went to Gath, and he found that he was in trouble. He felt like his life was in jeopardy, but he turned to the protector of his people. He turned to God, and he said, God heard me. Well, here's another example of communication. He's calling out to God. And there's also trust. He trusted that God would deliver him. Emotional intimacy with God is something for all times. The good times, where it's typically easy to have that kind of bond, and also the bad times. Forging this type of relationship is a very valuable item. Moving down in the psalm to what we have in verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Jehovah shall not want any good thing. Well, what did David mean when he said the young lions sometimes lack? They do not have enough food. Well, lions are fierce, cunning, strong, but in their youth, sometimes they're hungry. God's people, however, David said, find fulfillment. Part of that fulfillment, part of that realization and understanding that David is talking about is what we're discussing this morning, that is emotional intimacy. People generally appreciate a relationship with a person where they trust that person and they communicate with that person, whether that is a parent-child relationship, whether that's spouse-to-spouse, whatever that is, people generally appreciate people who can offer that kind of thing. And that is also true with respect to God. When we can communicate with God freely through prayer, when we can trust God, not only in the good times but in the bad, then we have achieved emotional intimacy. Well, as we think about this matter, we find that the principles are especially true with children. Children typically want someone that they can trust. They want someone with whom they can communicate. Well, guess what we find as we think about this in view of Psalm 34, a reference to children in verse 11. Come, ye children, and hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Jehovah. Now, David was a warrior. He was a king. He was a fighter. And yet, as you look at this verse, you find that he was not afraid to teach young people. Well, what did he teach them? He wasn't out there teaching them how to fight. Children may be taught a lot of things. Some items are important, some items are not. One important thing in their education is trusting and fearing, or trusting and respecting God. And that's what David was trying to communicate, to indicate to them that there was this emotional, there was this intimate connection with heaven. It was possible. It was something that he had. He wanted them to achieve it as well. When a person has achieved this emotional intimacy with God, the trust, the communication, some things begin to happen. One consequence, one of the things that flows from that is found in verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. An old preacher, and I'm not sure which religious group he was part of, but said this: we cannot spit poison without feeling some venom burning in our flesh. One more time, I don't think you have the quote on the paper. We cannot, in our speech, spit out poison without feeling some venom burning in our flesh. And he was saying by that if we have emotional intimacy with God, if there is that trust, that communication, that understanding, then that means we're going to have a changed life. It means we're not going to live as we used to live. It means we're not going to live as the world lives. That's not going to be our choice. It's also one means of accountability. We will, when we have times in our life when we sin, and we all do, we will come up to God as far as the communication end of things and remind him of how we failed, seeking forgiveness from the throne of grace. We trust him to forgive when we repent and trust his grace to let us grow more in the future. Emotional intimacy with God is also related to verse 14 in this psalm. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There are a number of forms of evil in our world. Someone once said that Christians should avoid the lion's lair and the viper's nest. When we think about emotional intimacy with God, again, one of the consequences that will come from that will be careful choices about our actions or decisions. What we do and who we are with will all be related to emotional intimacy with God. We will be pursuing a different way of life, as verse 14 explains. If we choose this course, then as we look at the psalm, we will have this consequence as well. God will be in fellowship with us. The eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, and his ears are open under their cry or their supplication. When we think about emotional intimacy with God, it is a good thing. When there is trust, when there is communication between him and us, David says his eyes are not only towards us, but his ears are open to our cries. Choosing a different path, not selecting emotional intimacy with God, results in a different course. Verse 16, the face of Jehovah is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. If we have emotional intimacy with someone, it's generally the case that they can understand our most difficult times. And you know, that's precisely what we find in this psalm. Moving down now to the information we have in verse 18. Jehovah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as are of a contrite spirit. Verse 19 is also important. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Jehovah delivereth him out of them all. Do the righteous suffer? Yes, they do. Can they suffer a lot? Certainly they can. And this is one of the reasons for emotional intimacy. Trust and communication with God are important for this reason. Many of the greatest Bible characters that we find, whether it's an Old Testament character or a new, had emotional intimacy with God. There was communication on their part as far as prayer, and there was also great trust. We also, as we think about emotional intimacy with God, find that it has an eternal benefit. Verse 20, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Life can be a real battleground for people, especially the people of God. David looked at his life, some of the things that he'd experienced, 1 Samuel 21, 1 Samuel 22, and realized that whatever comes our way, no matter how difficult they are, the injuries that we suffer are not permanent. In eternity, all things are healed. If you look at the end of this psalm, you find David saying, God redeems the souls of his servants. Emotional intimacy with God offers huge rewards. Being willing to communicate with God as far as who we are, what we are, people who are lost, and being willing to put that trust in him, that he's able to redeem, that he's able to restore, that he's able to help. That's a great offer. We treasure that with people in life, but the Bible teaches us that we can also have that kind of relationship with God. It starts by the path that we've announced so many times. If we don't believe, then there's no trust. If we're not willing to repent and live the way that life should be lived, and when we look at the scriptures, then again, we're failing to be involved in the communication that God has given with men as far as the scriptures. If we're not willing to confess, to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, then again, we have some failings as far as trust. If we're not willing to take that final step, baptism into Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, again, then who are we really trusting in? It's not Christ, the benefits of his blood, but it is ourselves. This morning we hope that you've made the decision to become a Christian and to continue to live as a Christian, to find that great, that close bond with God. If you've not yet made that decision this morning, you have one more choice to make as far as whether or not you're going to do that. If you have and you've slipped away, we hope again that you'll think about your choice, your option, and select the way that's right to come back and live as God wants you to live. An emotional connection with God, an intimate connection. Is that what you have? If not, and we can help you in some way, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?